La segunda ponente de esta mañana es Athina Trakas, directora de servicios OGC para Europa. Athina es la persona de contacto del Open Geospatial Consortium en Europa, responsable de las actividades del OGC y de la creación y fortalecimiento de redes en Europa. Esto incluye establecer contactos con organizaciones interesadas, la Comisión Europea y sus miembros. También está involucrada en el apoyo de las actividades de carácter regional y nacional, como por ejemplo el Foro Ibérico y Latinoamericano del OGC. Athina hoy nos va a presentar posibles sinergias y colaboraciones entre el OGC y las comunidades de desarrolladores y usuarios de software libre. Athina, thanks for coming and it's your turn.
Hello, thanks for the introduction and thanks a lot for the invitation. My name is Athina Trakas and some may think she looks, the name is Greek. I'm half Greek, although I'm blonde. and although I speak a little bit of Spanish, I will proceed in English and I hope you understand everything. When I checked the title of my presentation, I saw there is a mistake. But I thought it's a quite nice mistake because I talk about the use of open standards and their use in communities or their user communities. And that might sound similar, but I think it's a big difference if you just use standards or if you are part of the user community. And this is, as we just heard, participating in your community, I think, this is important. That's the agenda, and I will talk about a little bit about OGC. How many of you are aware or do know about the process of OGC? Not that much. Good. So I have a few slides for you. Then OGC and the OSG, or the Open Source Geospatial Foundation, we have a memorandum of understanding. Which I will talk a little bit about. Those of you who have been last year, last week in Barcelona, you might recognize some of the slides. So the availability of data is crucial, and we need to share data to do our jobs, and a key factor for the accessibility are standards, or is standardization, and we define that as the common interface to enable interoperability. If you are not interoperable, probably the work, we can't probably do our work. We once asked our members, because the OGC is a membership-driven organization, and we asked our members, why do you participate? Why are open standards important for you? And they said, well, we need to share maps on the web, and if there is no interoperability, we have really, really big problems, because our clients, our customers, they require that. So the OGC that was funded in already many years ago in 1994, we have a vision. We want to integrate location information on location data into commercial, institutional, and organizational processes worldwide. It's not that we are addressing only industry or only government. It's a whole aspect that we want to participate, and therefore we said that we would like to be the forum, and we are providing the opportunity for others that we are the forum to lead the development, promotion, and harmonization of open and freely available geospatial standards. These are a few facts about OGC. As I already mentioned, we were funded in 1994, and if you go on our website, there is a link where you can read a little bit about the history and the roots of the Open Geospatial Consortium is GRASS, and I assume that most of you know the open source software GRASS. So this is the background, the roots. People in the early 80s, mid 80s, they wanted to work using GRASS, and what they did is harmonize data. And then I said, well, we can't do our work, but we only will harmonize data. So I think they decided at that time that they need to develop standards. Currently, we have over 420 members from industry, academia, and government. So most of our members, a little bit more than one third, is from industry. Then we have a little bit less than one third is government and public administration. And one third is academia and research. And I think this inclusion of various players, that's an important aspect. We have 19 people staff. Most of my colleagues are in the US. I'm based in Europe, and then I have another colleague. He is Scottish and lives in Norway. And since 1 year, nearly 1 year, we have also a Spanish-speaking person. So whenever you want to contact someone from OGC, OGC staff, you can do this now also in Spanish. Many OGC standards are also ISO standards. This is because we collaborate with ISO, and it's not just a collaboration, but it's real, we call it a class A liaison. So as well as OGC members participate in the ISO process and vice versa, but this is also valid for OGC staff. So we have staff that they are technical and they work in the standards development. They participate in ISO, and the idea is we don't want to reinvent standards. We want to see what is already out there and really include and collaborate. So it's an open environment that we want to bring into the standards development. OGC standards are open standards because we said, and this is from the beginning like that, because we said if a standard is not open, who will use it? So there's no sense. And I think the list of software that is implementing OGC standards shows the success of the standards. We have a broad user community. Many NSDI policies are based on OGC standards. And as I already mentioned, we are cooperating with organizations like ISO and CEN, OASIS, but we have also close cooperation with the OSGEO, the Open Source Geospatial Foundation. This is our membership. So you see most of the members come from Europe, followed by North America. And then we have Asia Pacific, which is also quite strong. Unfortunately, there are, in the Southern Hemisphere, there are not that many members, but we try to be more active in these regions as well. I've been traveling to South America a couple of times, and it's interesting. You see a lot of implementations of OGC standards, but we never get any requirements. So I will talk later about how you can bring in your requirements to the OGC process, also if you're not an OGC member. For the completeness, here are a list of our Spanish, Portuguese, and Spanish-speaking and Portuguese-speaking members. I think the presentations will be available later. So, okay. I have also always put up links. So if you want to know more details about what I just talked briefly about, you can read this on our website. We have other groups in the OGC with a Spanish-speaking focus. So we have the ILAF, the Iberico y Latinoamericano Foro, and I have two more slides. The ILAF, they organized last week the first a Día de la Interoperabilidad, and that was really interesting because we had at the second part of the day there were real use cases, and then we had members showing how they're using OGC standards. To address a little bit OGC is an international organization, but as you have seen, most of our members are from North America and Europe. So we want to reach out also to other regions And therefore, we established the Global Advisory Council. So the members in the GAC, they are kind of ambassadors for OGC, and we have some of them here in Spain and also in South America. This is a short outlook to the memorandum of understanding we have with OSGEO. So the communities of OGC and OSGEO, there is a big overlap. So the reference implementations of OGC standards are free and open source software. So the both communities decide, or organization decided, that we need to work a little bit closer together. These slides are provided by Arnulf Crystal. And here he has put up some comments about open source software development. So open source is a development methodology that aims in making all processes transparent. It's about transparency. And one idea is to publish early and release often. And the development of the software is coordinated. So you have rules, you have a committee, a clear governance model. And good open source projects are also highly organized. There are public code repositories, bug and issue trackers, mailing lists, and a wiki, and so on. And some of these aspects are also relevant or take in the open standards development. So we are also aiming to make the process transparent, publish early and release often. This is also part of the open standards principles. The development is coordinated by processes and policies and processes, and we have also public schema repositories, mailing lists, you can have archives, you can read this. So the similarities in development, either standard or the software, they're quite similar. So we decided to have a memorandum of understanding, and the idea is to maximize the achievements of both organizations. So for those who are interested, I have put up here's the link to the memorandum of understanding. And last year, this was not online, so I gave a presentation at the FOS4G last year, and someone said, wow, the memorandum of understanding is not online, but it's now on the OSGEO wiki. And for all of you who want to read and have a better idea about what we are doing, the two organizations, you can read that. It's the ideas advancing interoperability and development to push the development of open source geospatial technologies. And you see Arnulf has put up two colors, it's green and blue. Green is OSGEO, that's the color of OSGEO, so it's about biology, diversity, growing things, and it's really down to earth. And blue, that's the logo of the OGC, so it's probably a little bit more technical. Arnulf tends to say it's more spherical. But if both organizations work together, they are using the benefits of both communities. So most of you come from an open source communities, and I would like to explain now a little bit how the OGC process works. Because if you're not participating in the OGC process, it might look very close. It is not, and I'll explain how it works. So many of you, or probably some of you, have already implemented an OGC standard, or at least know which are the WMSs, a very important OGC standard, the most important one. But what is an OGC standard? This is a document that was established by consensus decision within the OGC membership. You have rules and guidelines and characteristics. They are always the same for a given standard. And in its given context, an OGC standard achieves a maximum of interoperability from a economic perspective, and this is I think this is relevant for government and industry. In the long run, if you're using OTC or open standards, you're lowering the system costs because you're not locked in into a proprietary architecture. The important aspect of OTC standards is that they are implementable in software. And as I mentioned before on a former slide, there is a list of software that is implementing OTC standards. So we have open standards because, as I mentioned, a standard that is not open, well, who will use it? So if we decided the standards are open, they're freely and publicly available once they have been approved by the OTC membership. They are vendor neutral, and as I said, they avoid a lock-in into proprietary architectures. And the decision to share information and services has become, over the last years, a policy decision. So one of our members from government, he said, people are asking the government to be open, so we want open government. Why the technology should not be open? Therefore, we are going for open technology, which means open standards, and for more and more government and administrations, it's also, well, the use of open source software. These are some of the standards. And if you really want to understand how all the different OTC standards work together, we have an OTC reference model, the ORM, that gives an overview. And there's also, for those who are interested, there is a translation into Spanish of the ORM. So I have mentioned many times that we have a consensus process, and if people or if our members are working together, it's not that those who pay the most amount of money or those who are the big players, that they have more influence or they are deciding which standard is pushed forward. For each member has in each working group one vote. So one member, one vote. And the process of OTC is formalized, so if you're a newcomer, you can read how the process should work, and this is valid for all the working groups. And we make use of innovative processes, so we are trying to, that's our interoperability program, so you take real-world examples and you test the standards if they are fit for use in these communities. This gives an overview again about the organization. This is the staff, the committees, and the board of directors. The specification program, this is where the standards are being developed. So we have standards working groups and domain working groups, and this is the real technical part of OGC. The interoperability program, this is where the standards are being tested and tested against real-world use cases, and we have a compliance testing program. If you have a software and you want to be OGC compliant, you can participate in this testing program and, well, get OGC certified logo. So where do we know, or where does OGC know what is needed? So the input and the requirements, they're coming from user communities, and these are from all different areas. Of course, the public administration is very strong, but recently geosciences from hydrology, meteorology, geology, they have a lot of requirements. They're using OGC standards, and they bring the standards forward. So these requirements, they lead to working groups. And we have two kinds of working groups. The one are domain working groups. They are, as the name says, they are reflecting a special domain, like hydrology, aviation. So there, the communities bring in their input. And then we have the so-called standards working groups. And you see already from the names of the standards working groups, here you can read and you probably understand also as non-techie what it is about. The next slide Well, you need a more detailed knowledge in well, EBRIM, then CTGML, 3D standards, and these are really the working groups where the standards are developed. I want to show you two slides on the interoperability program. The IP program is a proven process to develop, test, and elaborate on standards. So the output of the interoperability program are candidate standards or recommendation how a standard can be adjusted to special communities. So we have test beds, experiments, and pilots. And if you go on the website, we have currently test beds and interoperability experiments in the hydrology domain. We will soon have one here in, well, with participation from Spanish members in the ocean science community. And the results of these experiments or test beds, they are available on the website. So you can read the engineering reports, and you can read the test results. Like, we have a very, as I mentioned, the hydrology community is very active, so they have a standard, it's called WaterML, and they want to bring it into OGC and combine it with OGC standards, and in these interoperability experiments, they are doing these tests. I mentioned the compliance and interoperability testing, and my colleague Luis Bermudez, he lives in the US, but he's from Colombia. He's responsible for that, and I mentioned it already last week. We are looking for support for the translation of the site testing principles into Spanish. So if anyone is interested in participating there, please contact me or Luis or the ILAF, the Iberian Latin American Forum. So how is a standard developed? That's the crucial question. First, you have a problem. Or another problem you don't know. It's strange. And this is clearly an interoperability problem. So the important thing is that you communicate. If you have a problem and you don't talk about it, it's not likely that the problem will be solved. So you tell either the relevant working group, or you send an email to the TC mailing list if you are an OGC member, or you talk to OGC members or staff, and we will help to address this in the OGC process. If there is interest from the community or positive feedback, there are two ways. Either you start an interoperability program, or you directly start a domain or a standards working group. If you start an interoperability program, there are certain preconditions, like you have to be at least two members need to participate in this IP program, and the results are engineering reports, as I said. And if the results lead to, well, to the necessity of a new standard, then it's very likely that a standards working group is established. The other way is that directly a domain or a standards group is established. Again, here you need also preconditions. You need at least three OGC members that say, wow, this is interesting for us. We need to invest time and resources into that. And then every standards working group has a charter, has a mailing list, and then the work is being done. So the results from a standards working group might be a discussion paper or a candidate standard, and that's fine. But then, you know, you need to go on, what are the next steps? And if a candidate standard is available, we have in OGC a so-called the OAB, this is the OGC Architecture Board, and they are reviewing the standard. They are those who have the overview over the ORM, the OGC reference model I was talking before. So the OGC reference model gives you an overview where all the OGC stand, how they fit together. So if a new candidate standard or a new standard needs to be developed or is up to be adopted, then the OAB they are checking if it fits into the ORM. And of course, the technical committee, which includes all OGC members, they are reviewing the standard as well. Before we adopt the standard, there is a 30 days public phase, a public period. We put the candidate standard up on the internet, and we are seeking for input from the outside. So also, if you're not an OGC member, but you want somehow to contribute, or you have comments to a candidate standard, you can bring this input. And each comment, as far as it makes sense, will be reviewed and included into the candidate standard. And then the process starts again. The OAB is checking the new standard, and then the standard is brought to the technical committee, and they are approving, most of the times they are approving the standard, and then the standard is publicly available as OGC standard. So I was talking at the beginning about user communities and use in communities. So this is about the use of OGC standards in communities. We have a lot of our standards are used in public administration. The key word probably is SDI, Spatial Data Infrastructure. And for members from public administration, from our perspective, they are very important, if not the most important players, because they are those who bring in the requirements. If they don't bring in requirements, well, how should a standard or a software be developed? Then emergency and disaster management. This is by its pure nature. If you have an emergency case or a disaster, you need information, data from different sources, and therefore interoperability is a key point. Hydrology, I mentioned that the hydrology community is very active. And these are the experiments that are currently running. For those of you who are participating in the INSPIRE process, the OGC Hydrology Domain Working Group is also participating in the thematic working group of INSPIRE. So many of the members in the Hydrology Domain Working Group are active members in INSPIRE. The same is for meteorology and ocean science. Then I mentioned already geoscience in general, and we have also very strong defense and intelligence community. Another aspect, I already mentioned in the beginning, we have, well, our members at one point said, yeah, OGC is international, now that is fine, but especially we want to speak in a different language because, for example, we are French or we are Spanish, and so especially in Europe, we started to develop different forum activities. So we have a very strong French forum, and they allowed the dialogue in their own language. Every country has its own political system. The administration is different. I usually bring the example of, I grew up in Germany, so I know how this works. We are highly federal. We have to implement INSPIRE not only once, but 17 times. We have 16 states and the federal state. So I know that. If I go to France, which is so centralized, I say, well, what they are doing? This is strange. This cannot work. And so the members in France, they decided to establish a French forum. And we have also forum activities in Italy. And the Spanish members, they said, oh yeah, that is a very good idea. We want also one in Spain. And then the Portuguese came and said, yeah, but you know, we would like to participate because we are already cooperating. And so it grew bigger and bigger. The important thing though for the national forum or regional forum is that without the support of the members, it does not work. So this is the ELAF. I will not talk a lot about the ELAF because you have the website, and we have one of our chairs of the ELAF is here, which is Jean Capdevila. Probably most of you know him. If you have questions about Ilaf, you can ask him. And there is a very nice YouTube movie on the web where he's explaining in Spanish what the Ilaf is about. And I like those three maps because they are showing it started in Spain. Then the Portuguese said, okay, we're joining. And then even before they had a charter or were really established, then Latin America was included. So, and the principle of the ILAF is hablar, hacer, y influir. And this is valid for the ILAF, but this is valid also for an open source community. Avenues for public input. As I already mentioned, you can comment on standards. You can always bring in change requests to an existing standard, and you have not to be an OGC member. These are requests and initiatives, so OGC seeks for comments on sensor observation. And sometimes we call for participation in an interoperability experiment. And you have the OGC network, which I tend to say it's a little bit the Wikipedia of OGC. And here you can bring in change requests to an existing standard or new requirements. So there are really public avenues how to participate in the process. We have domain working groups that are open to a certain extent to the public. So if you're coming from the aviation, hydrology, or meteorology domain, please feel free going on the website, subscribing to the mailing list, and then you can see how this works. We have a business value committee. They are talking about where's the value and the benefits of using open standards. And this is also open for non-OGC members. The background here is that I'm not a very technical person. I'm more networking and probably more marketing. So I reached out to our members and want to see, ask them, well, how can I help you? And I called one of our members in Italy, and he's with a business representative, and he said, ah, you're from OGC. Now you have to talk to Paolo. He's the technical rep. And I said, no, I want to talk with you about business, about how we marketing. No, OGC, that's technical. But I think OGC is more, or general, our community is more, we should not talk only about open standards and open source software, but also about the benefits. And we are trying to address this topic, which is not that easy, in the business value committee. Some closing thoughts. I like this quote. That's from an American-Canadian economist. He said, the conventional view serves to protect us from the painful job of thinking. And especially in economical difficult times, we should be more innovative. We should not rely on things, on activities or things that, or do things as we did 5 or 10 years ago, but look forward, go new paths, go new ways. And I think approaches as offered by the open standards in the open source community are even more important. I've not bothered you with numbers on return on investment, but there are many results and examples how open standards and open source software, has a lot of return on invest. And contribute. Avoid to have just this consuming attitude. Consuming attitude. This is the same if you have a problem and you're not talking about it, no one will help you. If you're just using software and not participate either in the process of the development or by financing part of the software, then it's not growing, it's not being developed. And then it does not, and then, to be honest, it's not fair to say, well, this software is not good. Because if you're just, consuming, this does not work. We have to cooperate And well, even, you know, make use of the common aspects you have, but also benefit from the differences. And a last point, which I would, that's, I think it's important. I have an open source background, and what I always say, please don't reinvent the wheel. Don't start another project before having done a proper analysis of the market. Benefit from other experiences and bring in your own. If you don't participate in the community, this community probably will not die, but it will not grow. And what we need is that, we need a growing free and open source software community, and of course, a growing open standards community. That's it. Thank you very much.